My name is Emma Price. So on the line with us today, we have Dr. Benjamin Geary, and he is an archaeologist at UCC. And he's joining me today to discuss the first evidence of lost prehistoric settlement in the southern North Sea. So good morning, Benjamin. How are you?
Good morning, Emma. I'm very well. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. So this is pretty fascinating, and I don't think people realise the type of discoveries that are being made today. So tell me more about the items that were found.
Sure, yeah. So this is part of a project that's been running for 3.5 years now. And what we've been doing is we've been investigating the landscapes that are submerged below the southern North Sea. So that was an area that really about 10,000 years ago, at the end of the last ice age, was dry land. So you have an entire landscape there that in prehistoric times was essentially there were people living and moving through that landscape. And that's the landscape we've been investigating. Of course, it's below the sea now. So it's a very difficult landscape to record and understand. But that is something we've been able to do in recent years. And very recently, we've been out with colleagues from the Netherlands, and we've also been working, sorry, it's Belgium, I beg your pardon, and colleagues from the United Kingdom. And we've been recovering material from this landscape, and that's included remains of stone tools. So that's something we're very excited about.
Yeah. So can you tell me about the type of people that would have lived on these settlements? They were hunter-gatherers, if I'm right.
You're absolutely correct there. You've done your homework very well. Yes, these are so this is a period we refer to as the Mesolithic period or the Middle Stone Age. So the people who are living, well, living is probably not quite the right word. These people are hunter gatherers. They move around. They don't have permanent settlements, and they live. They basically lived by hunting and fishing and collecting wild plant resources. So they were very mobile through the landscape. So when we talk about settlements, we have to be kind of careful using that word a bit. It basically means areas where they may have temporarily been kind of camping or stopping to fish or to prepare food and so forth. So that's the kind of communities we're talking about.
And if they were living off the land, how do we know the items that have been found were from them? Obviously, they would have been made from them, so it's easier to distinguish.
Yeah, they... Absolutely, yeah. So we know in the prehistoric period, particularly in the Stone Age, people were using very distinctive types of tools that were collecting materials such as flint and making tools out of those. And the fragments we recovered most recently include the fragments of an item we called a hammer stone, which, as it sounds, is actually a tool that was used to make other tools, if that makes sense. And these are very kind of distinctive of this period and indeed of early periods as well. So there's still ongoing work on these fragments. And I'd say they don't sound like very much, but the important thing here is that for the first time, we were able to go out and remotely prospect and recover material from these sites. So that's what we're really excited about.
The expedition was carried out, was it recent? And how you went about it?
Sure, yeah. So as I say, this is part of a large European project. It's funded by the European Union. And it's a joint project. It's led by a team in Bradford in the UK. And myself and a colleague at UCC are involved, and also other colleagues. So the most recent expedition was led by colleagues from Belgium, from the University of Ghent. So as I say, it's an ongoing study, really. As I say, it's something that will carry on into the future.
And the type of technologies that were used in discovering these, because obviously if all this is under the sea, how are we supposed to find it? How did you guys discover all this?
That's a very good question. So really, this is something that's come about in, I suppose, the last 10 or 15 years. And that is, of course, when you're dealing with landscapes that are flooded and are beneath the present seabed. We obviously have maps of the seabed, we have the bathymetry, but the landscapes we're interested in are buried beneath those sediments. So what we use are geophysical techniques, and this is really technology that's been developed originally by the oil industry to prospect for oil. But what that does is it allows us to kind of see, in inverted commas, through the seabed, and it allows us to see the remains of the landscape that are buried beneath the seabed. So for the first time, we're able to actually produce maps of the landscape, the prehistoric landscape from thousands of years ago before it was submerged. And of course, once we have a map, that's the kind of most basic archaeological tool, if you like. Once we have a map of that prehistoric landscape, we can start to think about where people were living in the landscape, where they were moving, again, these kind of activities I talked about earlier. And then we can go out and we can collect samples. Again, this is done remotely. We're not diving on the sites. We're using techniques such as collecting grab samples from the seafloor and also using coring, collecting cores through the sediments. So at the moment, that's the kind of work we're carrying out.
And are you continuing to carry out work on that site? And are you going to explore other parts of the site in the Northern Sea?
Well, absolutely. No, the project, as I say, is ongoing. This has really just been part of the project. We've been working on a number of locations, and this work will continue. We've been doing a bit of work actually over in the Irish Sea as well, in Cardigan Bay, just off the west coast of Wales there. So again, this is ongoing work, and there'll be more analyses carried out. We're going to carry out more work looking at the tools, the materials recovered, and we're also looking at the sediment samples that were recovered from the bottom of the sea, because these sediment samples date back to the prehistoric period when the area was dry land, so we can analyse those samples as well. And that tells us about plants and the animals that were living in that landscape before the entire area was drowned by rising sea levels.
And that leads me on to my next question. So with the climate change and rising sea levels, is it becoming more and more difficult to find these sites and that they're still kept intact?
Well, not so much. Obviously, rising sea levels will tend to affect the sites at the current coastal edge, and that is certainly a problem in Ireland and further afield where we have coastal erosion. That is obviously destroying sites. I suppose the slight advantage, if that's the right word, of the sites we're looking at, that some of which are, you know, we're talking about at least 8,000 years ago. So these sites, in a sense, are kind of preserved beneath the seabed. They would have been eroded at the time that sea level rose originally, but at the moment they're kind of protected, if you like, beneath the current sands and the gravels that make up the seabed. But more broadly, there is a problem with the loss of archaeological sites through coastal erosion due to climate change.
Well, listen, that is very interesting, and I know you hope to do more research in the future. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, just to say thank you for having me on. It's great that we're able to talk about this work. At the end of the day, there's no point in us carrying out these projects if the public aren't interested and they get to hear about it. So it's great to talk about archaeology on the radio, and just watch this space, really. You can find the project on Twitter at Lost Frontiers, if you look that up. As I say, thank you very much for having me on to talk about it.
That's all right. But also, how are the projects funded, do you mind me asking?
Not at all. No, this is funded by the European Research Council. So this is a European European funding stream which funds kind of big projects such as this one. So again, this, we're very much indebted to the funders for providing the resources to carry out this work.
Very nice. So again, thank you for coming to have this nice little chat with me today about this. It's very interesting. And again, you said, what was the Twitter handle?
Twitter handle is at Lost Frontiers. If you look that up on Twitter, you'll find us and give us a follow, and you can keep up to date with all the news on the project.
Yes, definitely. So if anyone's interested in finding out more about those prehistoric developments, that's where you can do so. That was Benjamin Geary, an archaeologist at UCC, discussing the lost prehistoric settlements in the southern North Sea.